نستعينه ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلقك منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله قد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So continuing on with the hadith of the Angel Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam, which explains the foundations of Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. The hadith reads as, on the authority of Umar, who said, one day while we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there came before us a man with extremely white clothing and extremely black hair. There were no signs of travel on him, and none of us knew him. He came and sat next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He supported his knees up against the knees of the Prophet and put his hands on his thighs. He said, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Islam is to testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. To establish the prayers, to pay the zakat, to fast the month of Ramadan, and to make Hajj or the pilgrimage to the house if you have the means to do so. He said, you have spoken truthfully. We were amazed that he asked the question, then he says that he has spoken truthfully. He said, tell me about the Iman, faith. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, it is to believe in Allah, his angels, his books, his messengers, the last day, and to believe in a divine decree, both the good and the evil thereof. He said, you have spoken truthfully. He said, tell me about Ihsan, goodness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, it is that you worship Allah as if you see him, even though you do not see him. You know that he sees you. He said, tell me about the hour. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, the one being asked does not know more than the one asking. He said, tell me about its signs. He answered, the slave girl shall give birth to her master. And you will see that barefooted, scantily clothed, destitute shepherds competing and constructing lofty buildings. Then he went away. I stayed for a long time. Then he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? I said, Allah and his messenger know best. He said, it was the angel Jibril who came to teach you your religion. So the section that we're on right now concerns the signs of the Day of Judgment. The part of the hadith which says, he said, tell me about the hour. He answered, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, the one being asked does not know more than the one asking. So tell me about the hour. In a narration from Amara ibn al-Kaka, the question is explicitly, when is the hour? It is to that question that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam response is directed. Furthermore, in the narration of Abu Farwa, it was also mentioned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lowered his head and did not respond. The angel repeated the question three times, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then raised his head and responded. The one being asked does not know more than the one asking. This response is not meant to imply that the two of them are equal in some knowledge concerning the occurrence of that day. Instead, it was meant to say that this knowledge is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept to himself and has not conveyed to anyone. In fact, in a narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there were five aspects that were known only to Allah, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse from Surah al-Luqman, Ayah 34, which means, "Verily Allah, with Him alone is the knowledge of the hour. He alone sends down the rain. He knows that which is in the womb. No person knows what he will earn tomorrow, and no person knows in what land he will die. Verily Allah is all-knower, all-aware." One should note how the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, responded to the question. At that time, as shall be discussed later, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was not aware that the questioner was the angel Jibril at this time. However, his response was in a general form, and its meaning is, no one being questioned about this matter will have any more knowledge concerning it than anyone else. That is, no one of mankind will ever have knowledge of when the day of resurrection will occur. Hence, anyone who claims to have such exact knowledge is either a blatant liar or a deluded fool. According to Al-Qurtubi, the purpose of this question was to put an end to any further asking of when the day will occur. Many people, as can be seen by reference to it in the Quran and Hadith, such as Surah Al-Naziat, Ayah 42-44, and Surah Al-Ra'd, 187, the people would ask the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about when the day would occur. Due to the nature of the Prophet's response in this question, and the later statement that the questioner was the angel Jibril, it became understood that such knowledge would never become available to mankind. The noblest of the human beings and the noblest of the angels have no knowledge whatsoever of when that day shall occur. Hence, there is no need to ever ask this question again. Therefore, one can also see that the purpose of this question was different from the purpose of the previous questions. The previous questions were posed in order to extract beneficial knowledge, while this question was posed to bring an end to the asking of this particular question. Why is it that that the knowledge of the hour has not been given to mankind? Allah knows best. But there may be two important aspects related to this fact. First, for the individual, the more important matter is not the occurrence of the hour, but the occurrence of his own individual hour. That is, the more important issue is for the person to realize that he is going to face death. When his death occurs, this is his hour, as his deeds will have come to an end, and after that, there will only be reckoning. This important aspect was alluded to by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was once asked by a Bedouin about the time of the hour, and he pointed to the youngest boy among them and said, "If this boy should live, he will not become old and decrepit until your hour has already been established for you." And this hadith is collected in Bukhari and Muslim. Again, the time of the hour is not what is important. The second important aspect is how one spends one's life in preparation for the final hour. On one occasion, a Bedouin asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the hour would come, and his response was, "Woe to you! What have you prepared for?" And this hadith is also collected in Bukhari and Muslim. Hence, the individual is required to prepare for the hour by faith and good deeds. He has no obligation with respect to when and how it will occur. So the next line of the hadith is, he said, "Tell me about its signs." He answered, "So the importance of the signs of the hour. No one can know when the day of judgment will occur. However, Allah has mercifully taught his messengers some of the signs that alert one to the fact that the hour is approaching. These signs play a very important role, especially for those who live at a time distance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and do not experience firsthand his teachings and examples. These signs reinforce one's belief in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. More importantly, these signs, if one takes the time to reflect upon them, are a reminder of the day of judgment. They should revive the heart of the person and make him recall what he is doing on this earth to where all this is headed." There is a very direct and clear relationship between the signs of the hour and ihsan. When one witnesses these signs around him, they should be clear reminders of Allah and one's future meeting with Allah. They should be reminded that Allah has foreknowledge of everything that is occurring in this world, and this is how He could convey these signs to His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, Allah also has knowledge of everything the person is doing. Allah is watching and aware of every act of His creatures. At the very least, this consciousness, which comes about through witnessing the signs of the hour, should make the person worship and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing full well that he is seeing him. That is, that level of ihsan known as al-murakaba, which was explained last class on Tuesday. The signs of the hour can be divided into two types. First are those that occur as part of the changes in everyday life. The second are extraordinary or supernatural events that will occur just before the actual hour. In his reply, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only mentioned some of the signs of the former category. Perhaps, and Allah knows best, this is because these are the signs that have much more of an effect on one's ihsan in everyday worship, although the recognition of these signs are sometimes more difficult or subtle. So why is it called the hour? The hour refers to the last day or the day of judgment. There are a number of explanations for why it is called the hour. Some say it is called the hour because although it will last for a very long time, it will be established suddenly, to the point that a person who is holding some food in his hand will not be able to taste it. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Muhammad, Ayat 18, which means, do they then await anything other than the hour, that it should come upon them suddenly? But some of its portents have already come. Hence, it is referring to the first event or beginning of the hour that will come all of a sudden. It could also be referred to as the hour because that it is with respect to the timing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in Surah Al-Miraj, Ayah 4, the angels and the ruh, Jibril, ascend to him in a day the measure whereof is 50,000 years. Hence, it is a very long event, but as part of that day, it is like but an hour. Finally, some say it is called an hour in the way of a good omen, hoping that it will pass easily and quickly, in the same way that in Arabic, an important matter is referred to as a successful matter. So the next line is, the slave girl shall give birth to her master. The scholars have differed concerning the interpretation of this sign of the hour. Indeed, it is difficult to explain many of the signs of the hour that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated. In some cases, perhaps, only those who actually live through the events being described will have a complete and correct understanding of what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually alluding to. For example, it may be only in modern times that one truly witnesses and understands what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant by women who are dressed but naked. Before modern times, the scholars could only hypothesize as to exactly what it was referring to. So, there are many different interpretations of this, and one of those is that the children will disobey their mothers, the child will end up treating his own mother like a slave owner treats a slave girl, showing disdain, perhaps beating her and in general treating her simply like a servant. In this case, her master is either figurative or in the sense of the one who brings up the other. This is the view that Ibn Hajar prefers. He states that it is the most general. Furthermore, it is parallel to the next sign that the Prophet ﷺ stated. That is, it is further evidence that the society has changed so much that things are in essence upside down. This is a sign of the coming of the hour, as things are no longer in the way that they should be. And the next line is, and you will see the barefooted, scantily clothed, destitute shepherds competing and constructing lofty buildings. The point of this sign is, as our Qurtubi mentioned, that once again the affairs will be turned upside down. The Bedouins will be in charge, taking over by force and having the wealth in their hands. Their only concern after that will be competition and boasting and constructing tall buildings. Our Qurtubi, who died in 671 after Hijra, said, we have witnessed that during this time. And also we witnessed that during our time. I'm saying it all over the world. In general, it means that those not qualified to be in charge and to have the wealth in their hands will be running their affairs and will be in control of their wealth. They will not know the proper way to deal with their wealth or how to run their affairs. Hence, they will waste their money in extravagant and frivolous pursuits. Other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam give the same impression of what will occur before the hour. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The hour will not be established until the happiness of all people will be with this world is Luka ibn Luka." The name Luka ibn Luka means the most ignorant stupid fool, the son of the most ignorant stupid fool. Another hadith states, "If the trust is lost, then expect the hour." He was asked, "How will it be lost?" He answered, "When the affairs are in the hands of those who are not qualified for it, then expect the hour." And this is recorded in Bukhari. So in summary, the two signs mentioned in the hadith, both of the signs indicate that the state of affairs will not be proper. In the first sign, those that are deserving of authority, respect, and good treatment, the mothers, will be treated with disdain and without their due respect. In the second sign, those that are not deserving of wealth and authority, or who do not know how to handle it, will receive wealth and authority. One can only imagine what society as a whole must be like when such occurs. Ibn Rajab wrote, "The points that are mentioned in these signs of the hour in this hadith go back to the fact that matters are not in the hands of the qualified people, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in another hadith. If the barefoot, scantily clothed shepherds, and they are the people of the ignorance and crudeness, are the leaders of the people and owners of the resources and wealth, to the point that they compete in constructing buildings, then the entire structure of the religion and worldly affairs will be ruined and in disarray. If the leader of the people is someone who is used to be poor and destitute, and he is the ruler over the people, regardless if that is a general rule or a specific rule only in some matters, then it is hardly conceivable that such a person will give the people their rights. Indeed, instead, he will hide from them what wealth he possesses." One of the early scholars stated, "For you to stretch your hand to the mouth of a sea monster and he bites on it is better than for you to stretch your hand to the hand of a rich person who used to be poor. If in addition to being ignorant, he is also coarse and harsh, then religion will also be ruined. This is because it is of no importance to him to rectify the religion of the people, nor to teach them that religion. His only concern is to gather and store wealth. He will not be concerned with how the people's religion has been ruined or what poor soul has lost his life out of need. If the kings and rulers of the people are of that nature, then all other affairs will also be turned upside down. The liar will believe and the truthful will not. The deceitful one will be trusted and the trustworthy one will be deceived. The ignorant one will speak while the scholar will remain silent. Ultimately, there will not be any scholars at all. It is authentically reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of the signs of the hour is that knowledge will be removed and ignorance will be dominant. He also stated, knowledge shall be taken away by the taking away of the scholars until no scholar is left. The people will take ignorant persons as their leaders. They shall ask them, and they will reply without knowledge. They are misguided, and they misguide others. And this hadith is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Shaabi said, the hour will not be established until knowledge becomes ignorance, and ignorance becomes knowledge. This is all part of the turning upside down of the realities at the end of time, and the affairs being opposite of what they should be. So perhaps American society is very much approaching the first sign. Nowadays, children seem to have more rights than their parents. If a parent even somewhat mildly disciplines his or her child, he may be arrested and the children taken away. On the other hand, young teens may even beat up their parents and hardly get more than a slap on the wrist from the authorities. Perhaps one of the greatest signs of this turning upside down of the way things should be, it is the place of the Muslims versus the disbelievers today. Although Muslims should be witnesses against mankind, leading mankind, and demonstrating the truth of Islam, today that is definitely not the case. Indeed, the case is almost completely the opposite. The Muslims are under the control and the influence of the disbelievers. This is definitely a case of the affairs being on the wrong hands and may be considered a sign that the hour is approaching. Al-Qari also points out that the first sign concerning the slave girl giving birth to her master implies the presence of a great deal of injustice, evil, and ignorance. These aspects even reach the higher classes of society, as they are the ones most likely to have slaves and so forth. The second sign implies extreme love for this world and a neglect of what this world leads to in the hereafter. The desire for this world is also exhibited among the lowest classes who can barely clothe themselves. So with that, we're going to end for tonight. Well, actually, let me continue on because there's only one more chapter. And then we'll be done, inshallah. So then he, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? Then he went away. I stayed for a long time. The narrations of this hadith from Umar and Abu Huraira greatly differ as to when the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, identified the questioner as being the angel Jibril. Many scholars pointed out that Umar left in search of the person, and upon finding him, returned to his home, which was some distance from the Prophet's master. Al-Qadha further speculates that on the following day, it was Umar's neighbor's turn to be with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they used to alternate being with the Prophet, and then they would teach each other what happened on that day. Hence, it was not until the third day, as explicitly stated in some narrations, that Umar was told by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who the questioner was. However, the others who stayed around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such as Abu Huraira, were told shortly afterwards that it was the angel Jibril who had asked those questions. Then he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? In many different narrations of this hadith, it is clear that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was not aware of the true identity of the questioner until after the angel Jibril had departed. In the narration of Abu Farwa, the Prophet ﷺ said, by the one who sent Muhammad with the truth, I was not more aware of who he was than any man among you. I didn't know that he was Jibril. In the hadith of Abu Amr, it states that the Prophet ﷺ said, glory be to Allah, that was Jibril who came to teach the people their religion. By the one in whose hand is the sword of Muhammad, he never came to me before, except that I recognized him, except for this time. The narration from Al-Tami is similar and states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know who he was until he departed. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it was the angel Jibril who came to teach you your religion. Commenting on these words, Ibn Uthaymeen stated, he came to teach the religion, although it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in reality who was teaching the religion. However, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Jibril the teacher. This is because he was the one who was asked and a teaching was due to him. One can conclude from this that the one who is the cause of something is similar to the one who does a direct act. When it comes to capital offenses, the jurors have derived the legal principle. The cause of the act is similar to the one who directly performs the act. For that reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Jibril a teacher because he was the cause of the teaching of the religion by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Through the responses to his questions. Second, if a person asks a question to which he knows the answer and he only asks so that the people would know the answer to that question, he has become a teacher. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes what the angel taught as being the deen or religion. The religion comprises the states of Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. For a person to try to complete his religion, he must try to complete all three aspects. Numani summarizes this point. In fact, three things make the sum total of faith. First, the bondsman surrenders himself wholly to God and casts his life into the mode of submission to him. This is what Islam actually is, and its tenets and practices are the signs and symbols of this fundamental reality. Secondly, the major transcendental truths the apostles of God have revealed and called on mankind to believe in are accepted as true. This is Iman. Thirdly, Should God in His infinite mercy make it possible for one to complete the stages of Islam and Iman, the third and ultimate stage is that the consciousness of God becomes so strong that allegiance was rendered to Him and His commands are carried out as if He were present before our own eyes in all His glory and splendor, and watching all our deeds and actions closely. This state is the feeling called Ihsan. So to summarize the hadith, the pillars or foundations upon which Islam, the submission to Allah, rests are five. The declaration of the testimony of faith, the establishment of the prayers, the paying of zakat, the fasting of Ramadan, and the pilgrimage. The articles of faith in which all Muslims must believe are six. Belief in Allah, the angels, the messengers, the books, the day of resurrection, and divine decree. As for Ihsan, Al-Nawawi's following statement provides an excellent summary of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's answer to the meaning of Ihsan. This is one of the comprehensive expressions that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was given. This is because if any one of us could stand and worship while he is seeing Allah, then he would not leave anything that would be in his ability of submission, humility, fear, beautiful features, and combine them all both outwardly and inwardly. One would take care to complete the act in the best possible way. Hence, the purpose of these words is to encourage purity in worship and recognition by the person that his Lord is watching him, so that he will be as complete as possible when it comes to submission, humility, and fear. The religion or deen is comprised of the three different levels of Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. The one who continues only at the level of Islam until he dies will be saved from being forever in the hellfire, although he may enter it due to his sins. On the other hand, the one who continues in Ihsan until he dies will go directly to paradise, and he will have the pleasure of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. The knowledge of when the hour will be established is known only to Allah. The noblest of mankind and the noblest of the angels demonstrated that they have no knowledge of when it will occur. In fact, at times some Shiites and Sufis make outlandish claims that their imams and saints have knowledge of the unseen. Some even say that the saints look at the preserved tablet. In fact, at times they even claim that they have all the knowledge just like Allah. These beliefs go against the Quran and the Sunnah, and if a person insists on them, even after being shown their falsehood, the insistence on this belief takes them out of the fold of Islam. Allah has blessed mankind with the knowledge of some of the signs of the hour. These signs that occur around the person should act as reminders of the coming hour and judgment. This should also remind him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees and knows all things, including what the person himself is doing at any moment. And with that, that concludes the explanation of the hadith of the Angel Gabriel, alayhi salatu wa salam, which has explained for us the foundations of Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. Subhanallah wa hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If anyone has any questions, they can ask them now, inshallah.